Tonight I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at tonight's sermon I've entitled More Than You Could Ever Imagine. More than you could ever imagine. I believe that God wants to do more in and through your life than you could ever possibly imagine. God wants to do that in your life. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 21 in just a few moments. In 1997, I moved to Wake Forest, North Carolina. Julie and I did, and I attended Southeastern Seminary for 3 years. And while I was there, I served at a little country church in Henderson, North Carolina, just north of Wake Forest and of Raleigh. And while I served there at Cary Baptist, I met the head football coach for Southern Vance High School. And that's where the majority of our students went to high school. They went to Southern Vance, and I had five guys that played on the football team, and Coach Watford was looking for a chaplain. And so he asked me to be their chaplain, and I said, I would love to do that, but let me pray about that. I really want to know that God wants me to do that. Let me pray about that, and I'll get back with you just in a couple days. And I prayed, and I felt like God wanted me to do it, but I just didn't want to do it because I wanted to do it. I wanted to make sure it was something that He wanted for my life. And so I prayed about it and accepted the position. And, you know, people just thought I was crazy because this was a rough school. It was known for teen pregnancy. In fact, teen pregnancies were the norm, not the exception. STDs, drugs, violence. In fact, in 1997, the year that we got there, Vance County ranked number one in the whole state of North Carolina for teen pregnancy. And most of those were at Southern Vance High School. This was a rough place. They couldn't pay people to do it, but the package was so sweet. I mean, I got into all the games for free. I traveled on the bus, the away games, with the team on that smelly bus coach, and I had a clipboard, a neon yellow clipboard that I held on the sidelines. I wore a headset, and only Julie knew that the headset didn't work. I just wore it just to keep my ears warm. It was North Carolina. It was cold, especially at the beginning of the season. And I'd wear those headphones, and I'd have that clipboard. And I mean, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And almost on a weekly basis during the fall, during the football season, someone from the church would come up to me and say, "Brother Matt, we admire what you're doing with that football team. But how in the world do you do it?" I mean, this was, again, it was a rough place. But I said, you know what? It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for me because, you see, every Friday night before the team goes out for pregame, I get to sit with them in a classroom and I get to share the gospel with them. And that's why I do it. And I have a goal, I have a vision for every player, every coach on that team to be given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in their lives. And that's why I do it. And I don't say this to brag on me, but really to brag on Jesus, that over those two seasons, we saw almost 45 players, 40 to 45 players, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A few of those I saw baptized in the church that I served at, and you know, the other kids, the players that had the churches that they went to, I shared with their pastors or their youth ministers about their decisions, and we saw them walk through the baptismal waters and be baptized. And God did a great work. But it was a vision that I had. A vision that players would come to know Jesus Christ. And when I look at my boys, I have a vision for them. My vision for them when they were born, even before they were born, that they would one day pray and ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, that they would follow Him in believer's baptism, and from that moment they would begin to grow in their walk with God and go on to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. I have that vision for my boys. I have a plan for my family, but God has a plan also for Spencer and Skylar's life. God has a plan for your life, and it's more wonderful. It's greater than anything that you could ever possibly think of or plan in your own mind. In Ephesians chapter 3, we find that the Apostle Paul here is praying for the Ephesians. And he's praying for these believers at Ephesus. And as he prays a prayer of faith that God would bring about his vision for their life. Look with me in our text tonight, beginning in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, again we ask you to speak to our hearts. God, move us tonight. Stir us to action. God, bring us to our knees. Help us to see that what you have in store is far greater than anything that we could ever dream of. And God, that you can do more than we could ever imagine in our lives. We pray this in your name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to focus with me on verses 20 and 21 as Paul is concluding his prayer. He says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Paul says, I want you to remember something about God. And that is that he is able, God is able, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask of him. Anything that you could ever imagine, he can do. He has great power that works in us. And he is working to bring about his glory in our lives. Look at verse 21. It says, "To him be what? Glory. To him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Here's what God wants to do. God wants to do something in your life that is beyond your ability. That is beyond your ability to think or even imagine it. He wants to do something so great in your lives that your life is transformed and made more and more into the image of God. He wants to do something so great in your life that it brings about His glory. I want us to look at this passage, and as we do, I want you to see with me tonight reasons that Jesus Christ can do more than you could ever imagine. How can you know that Jesus can do more than you could ever imagine? Well, number one, you can know that because the Bible tells us that His resources are more limitless than you could ever imagine. God's resources are more limited or limitless than you could ever imagine. And for this reason, He can work far beyond our comprehension to bring about His glory in our lives. Look with me in verse 16 of our text. Paul makes this first request in prayer, and he prays. He says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, as we focus on that first part of verse 16, we see God's Word says that He would what? Grant you according to the riches of His glory. The Bible says that we seek to live our lives for Jesus Christ, for the Lord, that God will work in us to make us more like Jesus, and that we will have access to all the riches of God. Now just think about that for a moment. That as a child of God, you and I have access to all the riches, not just some or most, but all the riches that are God's. Listen, that means that there is no excuse. That you, that I, that we have no excuse for failing to live our lives for God and to reflect His glory. All the riches in heaven are at our disposal. They're available for us to tap into. And you ask, how great are God's riches? How great are they? Well, look there in verse 8 of the same chapter. The Bible says this, as Paul describes his ministry. He says, "To me, who am less than the least of all these saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles," what? "The unsearchable riches of God." How great are God's riches? The Bible says that they're unsearchable. In other words, they go on and on forever. They have no limits, no boundaries. They are unsearchable. Now, a lot of people in America have a lot of money. There are a lot of millionaires in America. And a million, that's a big number, isn't it? You ever tried to count to a million? Anybody? Has anybody ever counted to a million? How many of you started to count to a million, then you gave up? Yeah, a lot of us. But think about this. If you were to count to a million, each number, 1 second, one, you say, well, that's a long time. But when you get into those larger numbers, 1 second is really not a long time. But if you were to do that, counting one number for every second, for 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take you nearly a month to count to a million. If you were to do it 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take you nearly a month to do that. Because a million is a big number. It's a huge number. I mean, how many of you like to have $1 million? It's a big number, but listen, it's not an unsearchable number. It's not an unsearchable number. The Bible says that God's riches that are available to all believers in Christ are unsearchable. They go on and on forever. There's no ending to God's blessings, to God's riches. Now look with me in verse 16. The Word of God says that He would grant you according to His riches of His glory. God gives us as His children according to His unsearchable riches. You say, what's the difference between according to and out of His riches? You know, sometimes people will say, God gives to us out of His riches. And then we see here in our text that the Word of God says that God gives us according to His riches. Well, what's the difference between out of His riches and according to His riches? I'm glad you asked that. 17 years ago, almost to the date, Julie and I were married July 29th. We went on our honeymoon to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I was determined not to go to Panama City. That's where everybody goes, or did back in the day. And so I said, you know, we're going to go to the mountains. And we went to Gatlinburg, and one night we were just walking down the main strip there at Gatlinburg and watching people. I like to watch people. I like to go to Walmart. If I go to Walmart, just watch people. It's like a rat race, especially at Christmas time. Or, you know, I'll go to the mall and just sit down on a bench and just watch people. Go to the beach, sit down on the beach and just watch. I know that's weird, but I just like to do that. And so we were walking down the street there, the main drag in Gatlinburg, and watching people, sat down on the bench. We watched people for a little while, and then we, you know, went into some of the stores, and we saw this fudge store. And you could see the lady in there, man. She was standing behind a counter. There's this marble slab that she was had a big old thing of fudge. I don't know what you call a big old thing of fudge, maybe a hunk of burning fudge. I don't know. But it was a big old thing of fudge. And she had this huge pile. It was about 3-4 feet long. And she was stirring that fudge, and then she would lift it up, and it would just drip down into this big, huge bowl. And, man, just, you know, just saliva all over your mouth. You know, you had to have some fudge. And she was doing some type of demonstration. And she said after she was done that everybody would get some fudge, a free sample of fudge. And so we stayed. Newlyweds, we didn't have a whole lot of money. Carol, so we were going to stay for that free fudge. And so we formed a line and everybody went through. And I'll just be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. I mean, I was expecting, you know, after about a 20-minute demonstration, they give you a pretty decent size of fudge. But the lady had a spoon. It's like this, a spoon like this. I don't even know if you can see this. But this is a spoon. It's like those little taste testers, you know, spoons. And she put the fudge on there, but I mean, didn't even fill up that much. About half of the spoon. And I'm like, you know, where's the rest of the fudge? That's gone. You know, I didn't even hardly get to taste it. I share that to make this point. She gave out of her fudge, but not according to her fudge. Because there was a heap, I mean, a big old heap of burning fudge. You know, I mean, it was huge. Hunk of fudge. And there was so much fudge left over. And I thought, man, you know, we can go through again and let's get out the... Here, I got my own spoon, you know. But it didn't work that way. She gave out of, but not according to her fudge. The Word of God says that if you are God's child, if you belong to Jesus Christ, that He will give you according to His riches and glory. Not out of His riches and glory, but according to His riches and glory. And I just told you that God's riches are unsearchable. You can't count them. Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. That'll make a Baptist want to shout. God's going to give me according to His riches, not out of His riches. That means that since He has unsearchable riches, that you have unending resources to be what God has called you to be. And there's no excuse for you not every day to live your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, as we continue looking at our text, I want you to see with me a second reason that Jesus Christ is able to do more than you could ever imagine. And that is, the Word of God says that His ability is more astounding than you can imagine. Again, in verse 16, He says this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. It's talking about God's power. It's talking about God's ability to do what we need Him to do in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. The Bible says that He is able to strengthen us with His might. That word strengthen means to take something that has fallen apart, that has broken down, and to pick it up. It means to take something that is sagging and weak and to give it new strength and energy. The Bible says that God is able to strengthen us through His might and through His power. That word might is the same word that's used in verse 20. It's translated power. It says that according to the power that works in us. The Greek word for might or power is that Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite or dynamic from that word. And here's what it means. It means God's ability. God has the ability to do whatever needs to be done in our lives. Listen, if Jesus Christ is living in you, you can because He can. And His power lives in you. And because of that, He is able to strengthen us with this dunamis might, this dunamis power. The Word of God says that He is able to strengthen us through the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now listen, there are going to be times in your life and in my life where the outer man is fading away. And where it seems like we're getting weaker day by day, the Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Paul says, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. Some of you here tonight, maybe you've given up. You said, I can't do it anymore. I can't continue. I don't have the strength. and I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to give up. Paul says, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. Even though the outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit. And His ability is more astonishing than you can imagine. And He has strength to take you through no matter what it is that you're going through. Let me give you 10 words that if you can just grab a hold of these words, and if you can just apply these, if you can learn these, if you can just drive them into your heart, I believe these words can transform your life. And here they are. I can because God can, and God lives in me. If you believe that's true, say amen. Amen. I can because God can, and God lives in me. Will you say that with me? I can because God can, and God lives in me. So when I feel like giving up, I don't. Why? Because I can because God can, and God lives in me. When I feel like just throwing in the towel and walking away and saying I'm done, no, I can because God can, and God lives in me. When we begin to lose heart, when we begin to get depressed, I can because God can, and God lives in me. His strength, His power is available to you as a believer in Christ, and His power and ability is greater than you could ever imagine. A couple years ago, Skylar and I, my youngest son, we were going down a zip line together. And it's the only zip line in Enterprise. It's over on Salem Road. Some good friends of mine. It's about a 100-yard zip line, Brother Mike. And Skylar and I were going down that zip line, and I couldn't help but notice as we were gliding down through the sky, I put my hand up on the rope and was holding on. Skylar got his two hands, and he held on to the rope. And it was just the cutest thing. He was, you know, mimicking what I was doing. And he was holding on for dear life. And as we were zipping down that zip line, Carol, I couldn't help but to think, I wonder if he really thinks that he's holding himself up by holding on to that rope. I wonder if he thinks he's really holding himself up. You know, the truth of the matter is that no matter how tight he held on to that rope, his stability was not determined by how hard he held on to that rope or how tightly he held on. Because he was in a harness and he was safe. His stability didn't have anything to do with that rope. It was determined by the fact that he was in a harness and I was right behind him, holding him in my arms. Listen, your stability as a believer does not depend on your own strength. You say there are times I just don't feel like holding on. You don't have to, because He's holding you in His arms. And He's looking after you. He's holding on to you. He will not let you fall. He will not let you go, because His strength is perfect. My friends, God has a vision for you, and He is working through your life. As long as you have the breath of life, as long as you're alive and well on this earth, God has a vision and a purpose for you. And day by day, He is working to bring about that purpose. And the Bible says that His strength and ability is more astounding than you could ever imagine. Thirdly, God can do more in your life than you could ever imagine, because the Bible says that His presence is more intimate than you can imagine. God's presence is more intimate than you can imagine. Now, we've seen in verse 16 that God is able to strengthen us in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 expounds on that idea and says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen, when you were saved, the Holy Spirit came and inside of you, and Jesus came to live in your heart. Now, these are saved people that Paul is talking to, and Jesus is already living in them. But notice what he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's one thing for Him to be in your heart. It's another thing for Him to dwell in your heart. The word dwell in the original language means to be at home. Jesus wants to be at home in your life. Now you can come to my house to visit, and I might not, you might not feel like you're at home. You ever gone to somebody's house and you just felt like you weren't really at home, but you were there? I mean, you could come in to my house and I could say, hey, come on in and just stand right here in the foyer. Or I might say, why don't you come on in into the living room and have a seat in my recliner? Now, you're in my house, but you're not at home in my house. Because I'm kind of dictating where you can go, right, and where you can sit. But what if I were to say, man, come on in. Make yourself at home. Take off your shoes, kick back, relax. Whatever's mine is yours, just, again, make yourself at home. Well, that means that if you're thirsty, you can do what? You can go in the refrigerator, get yourself a drink. If you want something to eat, you can go in the pantry and grab some food. If you want to go through the closets, and well, that's a little overdoing it. But, you know, to sit back and to relax, to kick off your shoes. Basically, you got the run of the house when somebody says, just make yourself at home. Listen, Jesus doesn't just want to be in your heart. He doesn't want to just be in your heart. He wants to be at home in your heart. He wants to be an intimate part of your life. And when His presence becomes intimate in you, when you're walking closely with Him day by day, He'll take you through whatever life throws your way. You know, one thing I've learned over the years through my life is that life is not like a DVD player. I mean, so many times when we get through bad times, we want to fast forward. Just hit a button, fast forward. Good times, we want to pause and just hang out for a little while and relish and enjoy those times. But life doesn't work that way. But listen, no matter what you're going through, good times or bad times, know this, that Jesus Christ is in every frame of your life. And He is an intimate part of your life. Continue looking with me because I want you to see yet another reason that Jesus Christ can do more than you can imagine to bring about His glory in your life. Fourthly, He can do more than you can imagine to bring about His glory in your life because His love is more wonderful than you could ever imagine. Look in verse 17 of our text. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. His love is more wonderful than you could ever imagine. And so Paul prays, as he prays for these believers to be grounded and rooted in the love of Christ. Julie loves to work in the yard, and I remember one day she was doing some transplanting. She was we had this pot out by our door, and she took the two plants that were in there, and she was planting them in the ground. And of course, one of them was dead, so we couldn't plant that one. But we noticed that as she pulled out that plant that was alive, it fascinated me, that almost all the dirt from the pot was around the roots of that plant. Because that plant had comprehended the soil, and the soil, again, was what was attached to that plant. But the plant that was dead, when she lifted up that dead plant, there was hardly no dirt whatsoever on its roots. Most of the dirt was left in the pot. And that's the difference between life and death. Whether or not the plant comprehends the soil, whether or not it takes in the soil. Can I tell you something tonight? As a believer in Christ, your strength deeply depends on how deep you grow your roots into the soil of the love of Jesus Christ. He wants you to comprehend His love. He wants His love to be wrapped around every area of your life. Paul said in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height of His love. And then finally, I want to share with you that God can do more than you could ever imagine in your life because His fullness is more satisfying than you could have ever imagined. His fullness is more satisfying than you could ever, ever imagine. Verse 19 says, to Him, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the culmination of this prayer, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Now, to be filled with the fullness of God means to be completely controlled by God. That word filled means to be totally dominated by something. To be filled with God means that your life is completely dominated by Him, that He fills every area of your life and you're satisfied. Listen, you won't be satisfied apart from Christ. You can try to fill your life with many things, but nothing will satisfy you like Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. There was a little boy. Once a week, his mom would take him to the candy store. And the candy man knew the boy by name, Robbie. And he said, "Robbie, today I want to give you all the lollipops you want. I want you to reach your hand into the lollipop jar, and for free, you can take home whatever you can pull out. It's all yours. Whatever you can take out from a handful, it's yours." And the boy just backed up. And he looked down at the ground, and he just stood there for about 2 minutes. And finally, it was kind of an awkward moment. The boy wasn't shy. He knew this man, and he loved lollipops. But the candy man reached down into the jar of lollipops, and he pulled out a huge handful of lollipops, put them in a bag, and gave them to Robbie. Robbie and his mom walked out of the store, and as they were walking, his mom said, "Why did you do that? That's not like you, not to talk. Why didn't you just reach down and get some lollipops?" Silence for a while, and he finally looked up at his mom, and he said, "Mom, his hands are so much bigger than mine." Do you believe that God's hands are bigger than your hands? Listen, His hands are bigger than yours. And He is able to fill you in a way that will satisfy you. And He is able to work beyond your ability to ask, think, or imagine to bring about His glory for your life. But you got to let Him.